I think as Christians, we go through things in life and we don't focus on the cross. We're focused on, you know, this or that, and we don't present the cross. And it's at the cross where we get to share Jesus Christ. It's at the cross that he died on the cross for our sins. It's at the cross where he bled for us. It's at the cross where, you know, where his body was beaten and bruised and battered for us.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is our service for his glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Well, we're back. Just two this week. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, two is better than one.
That's so I've heard somewhere. Somewhere I heard that.
Somewhere. It's in the book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, something to do with witnesses. Anyway, so you've had a busy week singing and marrying and yeah.
I try to talk them out of it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, sure you do. I'm sure that works really well. I've had a couple of busy weeks too. Mine's not as fun though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But maybe we'll get into some of that later. We'll see if it comes up in conversation. But I have no plans for today, so I'm glad that you came up with something to talk about. So I appreciate that. Pastor Mike has got a topic for us today. We're going to take a break from the prophecy stuff because, well, it's been a busy week. Yesterday is Father's Day, and my mind is mush right now. So I think we're going to take a break from the scholastics. Anyway, this is Thin Line Believers again. Adam and Mike with you this week. And I'll lead us off in prayer since I usually pawn that off on somebody else. So, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for being with us today. We praise your name because it's the only name that is worth praising. We ask that you would lead this podcast today, that your spirit would speak through us. We're just a conduit, and we are honored to be allowed to be used by you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Taking a break from prophecy, and everybody's been busy. Something that the Lord put on my heart this morning. Well, let me go to two places. One would be, and if we have time, I'll go to the other place. But I'll just go there right now.
You're only arguing with yourself. You just make up your mind and we'll follow.
All right. So today would have been one of my best friend's birthday, his 45th birthday. And his favorite psalm was Psalm 91, where he named this church Refuge.
So I saw you reading that today. I saw you reading that today, so I read it too. I didn't know why you read it, but now I know.
So in my Bible, I put right here, Mike, this has got to be you, where it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And in verse 2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And then in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. And so I read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter right now. And then, you know, today as the day was going by, I was thinking about, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I remember this message, or a message being taught by a pastor at Bible college, you know, and obviously this is a time when Paul went to Corinth, and he's comes to Corinth with a different attitude, different passion, or different outlook, because prior to coming to Corinth, he was in Athens. And in Acts chapter 17, he goes to the Stoics, the smart people, the ones with, you know, paper. And he wanted to talk to them about the unknown God. And I know a lot of seminaries, aka cemeteries, say that Acts 17 is probably the best sermon that Paul gave. But the one thing that he did not do in that sermon was preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if I'm not mistaken, there was no church planted in Athens by Paul. After he leaves Athens, then he comes to Corinth and he says, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. You know, even though Paul is a well-gifted, smart man, what he did come was he came with the cross. In the previous chapter, in chapter 1 at the end, it says in verse 25. Well, let's go to verse 24. In 1 Corinthians, and those of you that are listening online, it says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, these things which are not, to bring to naught or nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you Christ in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And then it says, I, brethren, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech and wisdom declaring unto you testimony. And then he says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, I think a lot of times we try to, you know, win our friends over with knowledge, win our friends over with excellency of speech, you know, win our coworkers and on, when in fact, I remember a Bible college professor, if someone could be won over or bought over, they can be bought back out. And I remember him saying, we need to love them over to Jesus Christ. And something that Paul didn't do was share the cross. And a lot of times, I think as Christians, we go through things in life and we don't focus on the cross. We're focused on, you know, this or that, and we don't present the cross. And it's at the cross where we get to share Jesus Christ. It's at the cross that he died on the cross for our sins. It's at the cross where he bled for us. It's at the cross where, you know, where his body was beaten and bruised and battered for us. And then something I realized in my own life is, you know, we listen to Dr. Jordan Peterson or, you know, Vodi Bakum and all these smart guys, which are totally cool. Respect those great minds. But yet, if someone could be won over through knowledge, it could be also said that they could be won back, you know, through knowledge. And I think one thing that Paul points to the Corinthian church is Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Because we got to give Jesus, because in today's day and age of, you know, the scamdemic and COVIDiots and all that, if we're going to argue this and that and don't present Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I think that's where the church is going to fail. And I think that's where individuals can fail too. You know, Adam, you mentioned yesterday was Father's Day, right? And I was like thinking, as a father, the more and more I thought about it today, the more and more I chewed on it, do I want my kids to remember me and my legacy as someone, oh, Dad loved bacon, that's it. You know, but Dad loved to work out, that's it. Dad was lazy, that's it. That the drinker, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't drink, by the way.
But do eat bacon.
I eat bacon, though. I eat bacon, lots of bacon. And Death Wish coffee.
Cooking that pig, burying it, right? That's your custom.
It's the donut. Can you see the frosting on
it? Oh, I do see the donut. You were like single-handedly keeping Death Wish coffee in business.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the world is drinking like Black Rifle, but you got.
Black Rifle, but I don't. It doesn't have the caffeine that I want.
It's on your shirt too. You're like all. You haven't got.
Well, I was wearing a tank top.
Where's your Thin Line Believers stuff? I mean,
I don't have the shirt. Fine. The hat's in the car.
That's fine. I'll send you a shirt.
Wearing it in public.
Jeez.
But my encouragement that the Lord gave me today, you know, as I was reading this morning, my buddy Petey, I mean, that guy loved Jesus, you know, and he loved the Lord. And something, you know, something about him had just this magnetic personality. He made you want to worship. He made you want to dig into the Word of God. And which kind of reminded me of 1 Corinthians, you know, 2:2, deuce, you know. And Petey was all about Jesus, you know. That's who he loved to worship. That's who he pointed people to. And the Lord spurred on my heart. Yeah, we celebrate Father's Day, but there's 364 other days that we need to be a father to, you know. And I want to be able to point my kids to Jesus. And that's something that I have to do that with the cross, you know. Because the cross is where you sacrifice yourself, right? And, you know, there are things that, like, we want to do. And you're like, oh, man, got to go to the cross. I got to crucify the flesh. You know, Jesus says in the Gospels, you know, take up your cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't say, hey, take up your cross and follow Adam because he's got the stash, you know. he didn't say, hey, take up your cross and be like Josiah, who's not with us, who's bald.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you know, take up your cross and follow Brother Steve, who's, it's kind of like Enoch. He walked with God and he's never with us on the podcast. But, you know. I think the encouragement that I really want to share, you know, with our brothers and sisters in arms and in a Thin Line family that are believers is, if our witness is ineffective, are you presenting Jesus on the cross? If our prayer life is ineffective, am I in Jesus and am I at the cross? And I think I've mentioned this before in another podcast. When Lazarus died, right, you got two different reactions from Mary and Martha. Martha came, hey, Lazzy died. Jesus, where were you? Right? She came to him, confessed to him, because Jesus is Lord. But then it was more of a complaint, in my opinion. And then she went back to her duties of, you know, making tacos, right?
Tacos.
But whereas Mary, when Lazarus died, she came to Jesus. She confessed that to the Lord, right? But then she worshiped him. She fell at his feet. And something that I'm trying to remind myself is, in any situation, whether it's a problem or a praise, you know, whether I'm in a dire situation or whatever, if it's good, can I have the reaction like Mary versus Martha? You know, like how many times do we have kids that come to us with a complaint and then that's it? How many, or we have those that are like, they have a complaint, but it's like, oh well, so be it, you know? And today, you know, I was missing my buddy Petey, you know, who had a huge influence on my life as a worship leader, as a pastor. And I thought about what would Petey tell me if I complained to him about some stuff? You know, what would Petey tell me if I just kind of share with him what's going on? And I think he would point me to Jesus Christ, who's the refuge, right? The habitation. And thinking about yesterday being a father, yesterday Father's Day was just full of ministry for me. I had the opportunity to lead worship at a couple of services and, you know, officiate a wedding that I tried to talk them out of. But
hey, when are you going to sing on here, by the way?
Oh, bro, it's not going to sound good.
It'll sound just fine. Go ahead. You can do it right now if you want.
I don't know where my guitar is.
Oh, okay, fine.
You know.
I got beats.
My voice is a little rusty today.
Oh, okay.
Well, only if you sing with me, Adam.
No, I can't do that. Do you want a full-time ministry job or not? Because that'll close the door right there.
Right. So, I don't know. I want to encourage, if there's any verses that people ought to memorize, 1 Corinthians 2:2 is one that they should. You know, because it's not with excellent speech. It's not with, you know, apologetics, so to speak. Although there will be times where you need to know how to answer an individual. But most people, what's that saying, Adam? People don't care how much you know. People want to know how much you care.
Well, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, I think it was Pastor Chuck Woolley from Bible College, who's Calvary Chapel, Palm Springs. I remember him saying, love them over to Christ. You know, we have some hardened cops, right? Hardened firefighters. And they think they can never be saved or whatnot. It's a matter of knowing how to love them over to the Lord, you know, and kind of like the little boy that introduced, you know, the disciple to Jesus Christ. How can I love them over to introduce them to the Lord? And, you know, because a lot of times, I mean, I'm sure you've pulled over people where the Lord put on your heart to extend grace. You're like, hey, I still have to put you in cuffs. You know, I still have to tow your vehicle, but I'm going to give you a ride home. You know, you didn't have to, but you do that because something just put on your heart. And when you're giving them a ride home, I used to put on Greg Laurie or Billy Graham in the patrol car, you know. And especially if it's a far drive, and a lot of times they'll ask, are you a Christian? You know?
Yeah.
I remember when I was at LA City Fire, I was in the back of an ambulance with the paramedic and I was doing CPR, cracking bones on this, you know, young girl, 17 years old, I believe. Her head got bashed in by her gangbanger boyfriend who was on drugs. And I remember the paramedic looking at me, he does this symbol, pray, because she's not going to make it. He's like, and that paramedic wasn't a Christian, but he knew I was because he, you know, he called me a preacher man, the man of the cloth. And he would signal at me. He's like, hey, pray. She ain't going to make it, you know. And I was doing CPR and, you know, I remember the paramedic taking her, you know, BVM off, saying, hey, this firefighter is going to talk to you. Squeeze my finger, one for yes, two for no. It's like, and so I'm still doing CPR and I'm like, you're not going to make it. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ? And squeeze my finger. Yes. Once for yes and two for no. And she could, with whatever must of strength that she can, she was like this, you know. And here I am, you know, doing CPR, blood squirting everywhere, the paramedic saying that she's not going to make it. By the time we got to the hospital, I said the sinner's prayer with her. Mm-hmm. And we got her into LA County, the emergency room, still doing CPR, you know, blood dripping all over the place, you know. Her back of her skull was pretty much cracked open. And because the homeboy, who was the boyfriend, was coming off of his drugs, he realized he bashed his girlfriend's head in. Her eyes, the pressure in her brain was so bad, her eyes were bulging out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember I led her in the sinner's prayer just real briefly. I said, just say this prayer in your heart. And once you do, squeeze my finger one if you did. And I remember her squeezing my finger. And I mean, still to think about it, I get, you know, the chills, because it's like, wow, you know, she literally died literally in my hands. But I know that she accepted the Lord.
Yeah.
I know she didn't make it. And, you know, and the witness that incident put on the paramedic, the two paramedics I was working with, and then the fire crew, was astronomical, because that night I had one of those John moments where it's like Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, you know. Let's see, at that station there was six of us with the battalion chief, so there's, you know, seven total. I remember four of the firefighters, the engineer, the captain, and the two firefighters all came to me and said, hey, you know, individually, what's this God thing you're doing here? Because we've never seen anything like this, you know? And here I am, I got blood all over me. And I wasn't thinking about myself, but I was thinking for the salvation of this young girl. She's 17 years old in East LA. Head got bashed in, right? And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I know if I died in a fire or if I got shot, my last breath here on earth would be my first breath in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so these firefighters, all of them came to me individually, and they didn't know they did that with each other. And I kept that to myself, you know? And so the opportunity that I had to share Jesus with these firefighters, because they're hardened, you know, they got, you know, 20 plus years of firefighting, you know, they got a stash like yours, you know, but I realized that when they were hearing me share the gospel with the 17-year-old in a matter of, you know, a few minutes, because going from the call to the emergency room, that's all that was for me to introduce Jesus and her accepting Jesus, and then her dying in the deathbed in my arms, you know. And the firefighters are like, we've never experienced anything like this. And so, and that's where I told them, I was like, Jesus Christ is not a religion, it's a relationship, you know. And I told them, I was like, you could die two deaths or one. And they weren't sure what to do, because I'm like, you could die physically, but you're going to die two spiritual deaths, or two deaths, physical and a spiritual. Or you could be born twice and die only once. And when I shared that with them, they were kind of awestruck, because I remember two out of the four guys, I immediately prayed for them, and they, you know, said the sinner's prayer. The other two took some weeks, but they eventually came around, you know, to accept Jesus Christ, you know. And I don't know where they are today. I'm hoping that they know, but they said the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. And so, and this is where, you know, as someone that's an ordained pastor and having been in both fire and police service, a lot of our coworkers don't care if you have a seminary degree or a doctorate of any sort. It's like, hey, how much do you care for me to go to heaven, right? You know, Jack Kibbs' message was on fire the other day, you know, and he was talking about, he mentioned that movie Jurassic Park, you know, and is it Jeff Goldberg or Goldstein or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, when T-Rex is coming behind the Jeep, and in the mirror it says objects will seem closer, right? And so, you know, I think the enemy is there. The enemy's ready to attack. The red enemy's there to, you know, get our family members, our friends, you know. And how desperate are we to introduce Jesus Christ to these people, you know? And they don't need to be nagged. They don't need to be bothered. It's a matter of, hey, how can I introduce Christ to them, you know? And it doesn't take excellency of speech. It doesn't take oratorical efforts like Paul did in the book of Athens and not give the cross. It takes your heart that cares for your coworker and say, hey, I just want to present to you just this once, you know, and you could say yes or no. I'm not going to nag you again, but do you know Christ? And if you don't, would you like to receive him? Because if you don't know Christ, you go to hell, right?
Yeah.
And so just want to encourage our brothers and sisters in arms, whether you're in the thin blue or red line, green line, yellow line, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I like the contrast that you're talking about here between smart Paul, because scholars have looked through his writings and the man was an absolute genius. But the change that took place between there in Acts 17 and in 1 Corinthians, I mean, spiritually speaking, it's almost a 180, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because really, it's not supposed to be complicated. And when we overcomplicate it, you know, when we try to become apologists, you know, to give an answer, apologetics and whatnot, we can really overcomplicate it. And really, it just comes down to the root, and that is the cross. We have a unique job, whether you're a firefighter, paramedic, you know, law enforcement, whatever it is, we have a very unique view, right? We deal with death. I had to deal with death quite a bit over the last 2 weeks. And so having seen that very up close and very personal, when you arrive on a scene and here's a person who, you know, the Spirit was there, maybe even when you got there, but within minutes it's gone. And if you haven't seen that and you're listening to this, it's a really strange experience. You know, the lights have gone out, and it's just odd, because what you're left with is a shell. And I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it, that we're not a body with a spirit. We're a spirit. We just have a body, right? And that's incredibly true, especially having seen what we get to see. And I say what we get to see because that's a very unique experience that I think, if you haven't seen that, you should. You should see the shell that's missing the spirit, because that's even further proof of what we see in the Bible. That this is a spiritual life, I guess I should say. The life is in the spirit. And Paul goes on later on to say, you know, to be, how does he put it? To live as Christ, to die as gain. Mm-hmm. And what that means, as far as, you know, when I read that, what I see is, okay, to live as Christ, what did Christ do? Christ lived a life of love, of sacrifice, selflessness, and he always pointed to the Father. And so, for me to live that way, my job is to point to Christ, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. And that's the Holy Spirit living in me. I'm supposed to point to Christ. And I know that that brings fulfillment, because that's our purpose. Our purpose is to love God and be loved by God. And when we point people to his Son, we're fulfilling our purpose. We're supposed to be disciples and make disciples. I was telling you, Mike, about my adventures with the IRS over the last couple weeks. And this morning, God gave me something pretty special to share. So I've been fighting the IRS for like 2 weeks now. Getting the runaround. You call the phone number, and more likely than not, what it's going to say is the call volume is too high. Please try again another business day, and it will hang up on you. And I did that time after time after time. One time I finally got through. I had to sit there on hold for an hour, and I finally got through to a person. And the reason for all this is because I'm part of a couple of businesses, and the filing was late. I misunderstood, and I ended up filing late. So that's on me, right? But finally this morning, so weekends they're closed. You know, I couldn't get through on the weekend, and it's due today. Today, the day we're recording this. And so we got up at 6 o'clock this morning, which is not like me. I work swings, so that was a sacrifice in and of itself. But we got up this morning. I called the usual phone number, and I'm put on hold. And my wife calls a different phone number that she had to scavenge for online, and she's put on hold. My phone picks up after about 45 minutes. The guy on the other end literally laughed at me because he told me what he thought I should do. I said, well, I'm already in that process, but it's going to make the payment late because I have to wait on, you know, something from them. And he just laughed at me and says, well, then you got to wait, brother. Okay. Well, you're not the one that's, you know, having to pay four figures here. So it's all funny to him. So I got off the phone, and then about 15 minutes later, somebody on the other end of my wife's phone picks up. Long story short, that one was willing to help me. And because of some of my wife's research, there was a waiver. And every bit of that was forgiven because I finally got through to the right person who knew how to help me.
Mm.
And so I was forgiven four figures. You know, I had this debt. I accumulated it, not on purpose, right? But still, that was the wages of my decision. And then this person forgave it. I mean, how much is that like the cross, you know? Mm. I'm looking for the right person. I'm looking all over the place for the right person. Finally, I get through to the right person, and the right person is Jesus Christ, and he paid that debt. It's forgiven, and it's a poor comparison because of the volume of it, right? I'm forgiven a few thousand dollars or a couple thousand dollars, whereas my sin, I'm forgiven, which would have been death, right? I'm forgiven that wage of death. And so I got that little nugget this morning, and it hit me after I got off the phone that this is kind of what it's like in the physical, right? Mm-hmm. But we're talking ultimate spiritual. And so I think it's a great message to share today. And God would say, what have you done with my son? You know, this is what he did. What are you going to do about it? Like you said, you can die twice, or you can die once.
Pastor Chuck, I remember him saying this all the time at pastors conferences, even when I was in the youth group at Calvary Costa Mesa with Papa Chuck. And he would say, don't fall on the things you don't understand, fall on the things that you do. And he would say, fall on the things like this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You are forgiven of your sins and that you're going to heaven, you know? And you know, and it's just making me realize the cross and our relationship to heaven is that connection, you know? And, you know, it's that horizontal vertical connection is Jesus Christ dying on the cross equals to heaven. You have to be willing to accept that into your life, mm-hmm. you know? And then I realize, you know, going back to Mary and Martha, if you think about it, and I share this with my wife in my recent, you know, trial that I'm going through. And I guess I could share it. It's not a huge deal. It's the done deal. Those of you that are listening to this, not naming a particular department, but I was working for a particular department and I had been let go. And I've had to hire an FOP attorney and all that. And I don't feel guilty being let go because I stood up for the truth. And I stood up for righteousness. Having said that, I've been wrongfully terminated. And during this trial, this storm in our season of life, I could have been like Martha and said, Lord, don't you know what's going on? Right? And then, what the heck? And go back to doing what I was doing. The other thing was, I chose to be like Mary. I'm going to go to Jesus Christ and weep at his feet, you know? And Adam, you were very encouraging to me, I think, in a conversation where, you know, let your workouts be an act of worship, right? Which then reminded me of Colossians chapter 3, you know, verse 17, and I believe verse 21. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it unto the Lord. You know, and so that allowed me to kind of get like taking like a pre-workout. It's like, oh, it's like, I know what I need to do. I need to fall at the feet of Jesus. Because I realized, like Mary, when she fell at the feet of Jesus and she said, Lord, did you not realize that Lazarus died? And she wept at his feet, right? And then I realized, the Lord, at least for me, I can't say this for everybody else or any believer. And those of you that are listening to this, I'm holding my Bible to the camera. Okay. I wept in the Word of God, which is in essence, the two pages are his two feet to me. I wept at his feet, you know, and as I was weeping in the pages, I didn't see anything else but the Word of God. You know, and I realized Jesus Christ and him crucified, if I'm at the cross, I'm weeping at his feet. And so therefore, at the cross, when I'm reminded of Papa Chuck, don't fall on the things you don't understand, but fall on the things that you do. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you're going to heaven. You are forgiven. I realize I'm going through some stuff, but we all go through things in life. And if our vice is alcohol, if our vice is pornography, if our vice is drugs, if our vice is something that's outside of Jesus, it's not going to solve the problem. And I realize, man, if I go to the cross, not only am I forgiven and I'm going to Jesus Christ, the one thing that Jesus Christ promises, I'm going to give you the Spirit. I'm going to give you power, you know? And I can't do things with excellency. It's the dumb guy, you know? But That's the beauty of God. He likes to choose the weak things to confine the mighty, right? And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's something that I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but I'm still learning, you know. I mean, for over 30 years, I'm still learning how to, you know, to learn the power of God. But here's a man, like you were saying, Paul's a smart, smart dude. He was a Jew of Jews. He was a Roman citizen. He's part of the Sanhedrin. He was a priest. He put that aside. And the one thing that you know, kind of made me jog my memory, Adam, when you talk about apologists, I've never seen an apologist wash the feet of a sinner. But I know many pastors that are not qualified, don't have seminary degrees, wash feet of sinners. And I think it's the cross, because Jesus went on the cross for love, right? And I think that's what us believers need to do, is in a sense, wash feet. Care for those that are struggling, that are hurting, you know? I know in Proverbs it says, when you water others, you'll be watered yourself. And that's something that I've experienced in my personal life is, I forget who said it, like if you're going through like bouts of depression, do something for someone else and repeat that 9 more times. 10 steps to curing depression, right? Do something for someone else and repeat that 9 more times. And that's something I've learned to put aside is, you know, I could debate people and all that, but if I don't love them over, wash their feet, so to speak, they might not ever come to the Lord. They're going to see that this guy is different because he cares, you know? And I think we, those that have been in uniform, at some point, you have to face reality. Like, I know whenever I left my house and I told my wife and my kids, I love you, I hope to see you tonight, that's genuine, right? Because you never know if some idiot's going to, you know, shoot a bullet, shoot a gun through your patrol car, you know? You don't know if you're going to be having a heart attack. So whether it's in a shooting incident or a fire, I mean, we don't know when we're going to die. And so whenever I said I love my wife and my kids, I genuinely meant it, because it's like, I might not come back. I mean, good thing my family is Christian, because like, hey, I'll see you in heaven, right? But how many coworkers do we have that, you know, oh, yeah, I know the Lord. Really? Because you don't act like it. Oh, I know the Lord. The Lord knows me. Oh, really? You know? And I think that's where we need to separate the genuine and the disingenuous, you know? And be able to say, hey, I'm not saying this. The Word of God says this, man. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And you need Jesus, right? Not what Adam says, not what Mike says, but what the Word of God says, you know? And your analogy of, you know, you being forgiven, the relief that you feel, you're just like, what? That's unreal, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like our kids are little. I mean, yours is a little bit younger than mine. But when our kids say, mom, dad, I'm sorry, will you forgive me, right? And you say, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. You say, of course I forgive you, right? You don't hold it against them. But you could see it genuinely on your face, like on their faces, they're forgiven, right? Or if you and I as husbands, we screw up and we tell our spouses, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You know, please forgive me. I love you." And the genuineness of their reactions, like, "I love you, I forgive you. Please forgive me as well."
Except.
Okay, don't get me in between you and Piper.
No, except, except that God says that he will forget your sin as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
Unlike your spouse, that probably won't be brought up 7 years from now. So.
Oh, right.
Just throwing that out there.
No, it's so true. I don't know if I was listening to, I don't know if it was Jack Hibbs or Greg Laurie. And if you just think about it, if you're heading west, you're going to keep heading west. You're never going to end up right. meeting a point.
Right.
Or east.
Yep.
Right?
Not if and you go north.
Right? Not north or south.
Yeah.
But to think that God has forgiven us and he remembers our sins no more, I mean, in my dumb mind, that's just absolutely amazing to me. Like he's forgiven your sins and my sins, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? You know, are you serious? I mean, even the vilest sinners. The only sin that he's not going to forgive is the, you know, obviously the rejection of the Holy Spirit, who's, buddy, you need Jesus. Hurry up, right? But if you reject Jesus, I mean, that's an unforgivable sin. But, I mean, we feel good when our spouses forgive us or our parents forgive us when we're younger. But to think the God of this universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has forgiven us as far as the East is from the West. You know? And it's like that old, I think it's the Vineyard song. And something how it goes, it's like, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love," right? And
you can keep going if you want.
I know, it's okay.
Okay, fine.
My throat's dry from the coffee, but I don't know. I'm just thinking, this world is huge, right? And to think that span, that your sins, my sins are forgiven. Like as far as, you know, in that song it says, "As far as the east is from the west." That's how far he has forgiven our transgression, right? And you and I both know cops and firefighters are very prideful, not because of it's Pride Month, we're just very prideful. We're type A personalities. You know, if we're told we can't do something, we got to go do it to prove the commanders or the sergeants wrong, you know, our coworkers. And we just have that pride. But the reality is, it's like, no matter what we do, it's not going to be good enough. Right. And to think that God has forgiven my sins from being angry yesterday. You know, I was just angry today driving my daughter to gymnastics and back, and this old dude in a Lexus cut me off when there was no other cars in front of me in a passing lane. I was like, "Bro, what are you doing, you?" And I was just like, "Oh, I'm just going to move around him, you know." And I'm like, "Lord, forgive me for getting short-tempered right there." You know, but I wonder how many of our brothers and sisters in uniform feel guilty of something. And they're listening to this right now. You guys got to know, if you know Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You know, like your analogy. Hey, irregardless if it's 2 digits or 4 digits, your debt's been paid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if you're feeling bad about a sin and it's pushing you closer to God, that's called conviction. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
if you're feeling bad about a sin, you know you've been forgiven about it, but it pushes you further from God. Like, man, I can't even pray right now. I can't come to you. That's condemnation, and that's of the devil.
Yes.
So.
You know, when I was a banker and people took out loans, whether it be personal loans or HELOCs, once they paid it off, this is before electronics, obviously, there's a piece of paper. And I had a stamp called PIF, and it stood for paid in full. I would take the stamp, put it in the ink, bam, right on the paper. That individual no longer owed any money to the bank. And bringing it all back to 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined anything, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and crucified. Coming back to the cross, what did that cross, that stamp do? Paid in full. Your sins and my sins, it's paid in full. You know? And I think if we live with that urgency in our hearts until we see Jesus Christ, that we're living each day, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I think we'll be okay. Because we're going to keep the cross in front of us. We're going to keep that which Jesus Christ went through for you and I until, you know, He raptures the church, right? I guess we could tie it into prophecy. Because if you think about it, there is that one person that needs to accept Jesus Christ for the church to be raptured, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you ever wonder, whoever you come across, could that person be that last person? You know?
Yeah, but I don't think we have time for all that. Jeez.
That's true. But I'm, you know, it's like we go to church service and I'm like, is that one last sinner in this congregation right now? Man, except Jesus. I want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not sure if we're going to be excited or angry at that guy. Like, why'd you take so long? Or gal, whatever. I don't know.
But I think, you know, we talked about this in the past. You know, those of us that's only been saved a few years, you're grateful that God delayed His coming. Right? And so, excuse me, but that's something that I always keep in mind, too. It's like, I have friends and family members that don't know the Lord. I would like it if the Lord delays His coming just a little bit so they have time to receive Jesus, mm-hmm. You know. And, but at the same time, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you got your degree. Today is the day of salvation, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're listening to Thin Line Believers and you don't know Jesus, please accept Jesus. You know, reach out to Mr. Adam, Pastor Adam, and we'll get resources out to you. Don't shake your head at me.
Don't call me pastor.
Why not? It's just doulos. You're a servant. That's all it is, right?
Okay, call me servant then. Servant Adam.
All pastor is just a angelos, is it? In the book of Revelation. Just a messenger. So anyways, I don't want to keep talking because I don't know how long we've been recording.
A bit.
Right.
But I wasn't going to stop you.
Any last thoughts from you?
Yeah, I'll praise out. I think that's it. I think that's it. You know, Romans has some pretty amazing instructions and how to be saved. But it's simple, but it's difficult, right? It's a surrender. It's an admission of who you are, which is, it requires some humility. And the humility comes in when you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And you have to recognize that you are a sinner, and what separates you from God is that He is absolutely holy, without blemish, and we are filthy, and we can't clean ourselves. We can't earn our way to heaven, lest any should boast. Right? I'm not going to get to heaven and say, oh man, I did this and that and this and that. That's how I got here. Boom. It's not going to happen like that. And God knew that that was impossible. In fact, that's why he gave the law, was to reveal to us just how sinful we are. And so that's why Jesus came. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, sinless life, fulfilled all the prophecies, all the messianic prophecies. And then he died. And he's coming back to fulfill the rest of them. He died in our place. He took our sins upon himself. In fact, the word says that he died for the sins of all mankind. So he's given this gift to every single one of us, but few accept it. I can't give you a gift if you're going to reject it. Return to sender, right? So you have to accept it. And the word says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. But keep this in mind. Even the devil believes that Jesus is the Messiah. So it actually takes that commitment, some relationship, right? And it's a good time now to start that and to build it. If you'll just open the door and let Jesus in, he says that he will come in and he will sup with you. So there, that's the good news. Mike, you want to pray us out?
Sure, love to.
Sweet.
Jesus, it's all about you. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Thank you so much, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for washing us, cleansing us, forgiving us, as far as the east is from the west. You have removed our transgressions from us, Lord. Thank you for forgetting them. But when Satan accuses us of our wrongdoings, when Satan accuses us for all the wrongs we did, God, you look at us and you say, I don't see anything because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. Lord, I pray for those that are going through some hard times, myself included, and Adam, Josiah, and Brother Steve, and those that are in uniform. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen us, Lord. I'm reminded even in the book of Revelation, Lord, you as the Messiah, revealing yourself to John and also to the churches, strengthen which that remains. And Lord, some of us are weak, some of us are just weary. Lord, we ask you would strengthen us, fill us anew. Lord, much like our cell phones, maybe our batteries just drain. Lord, recharge us and refresh us, Lord. Again, we just ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Use us for your purpose and for your kingdom, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thin Line Believers is on Instagram at Thin Line Believers, all one word. I guess we're on Facebook. I don't ever get on there. Contact thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. We also have thinlinebelievers.com. Yeah, I guess that's it. All right, till next week. Maybe we'll have more people on here, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
The recording has stopped.